Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Qadira Aisha Muhammad on Religion Means Alive through Blog Talk Radio. Today's date is January the 7th, 2016. And tonight's topic is just hot topics, new things that are going on in the news that, you know, I think we need to bring ourselves some clarity on. First and foremost, I'm going to give thanks to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for allowing me to have another day of life, to be able to navigate through this world and handle all the obstacles and tests that are thrown at me, and being able to overcome adversity and, you know, just things in general. These are all things that, you know, we should be grateful for. We're still being tested. We're still being challenged, which is great for some people who aren't here to be able to be challenged or being able to be rectifying their affairs. You know, it's too late for them, but we're here. So, inshallah, we'll be able to get through. We'll be able to get through. You know, I like to do different topics that bring awareness to very difficult situations. And one of those situations is the whole situation in Oregon. And because I do have international callers and callers who, you know, don't really know what's going on, there's a group of militia terrorists, because that's what they are. They're terrorists, domestic terrorists, that are holed up in a federal facility. They're on Facebook asking for snacks and other things. And a couple of people got mad at me because of a statement that I made. I said, you know, let's just call it what it is. They're terrorists. And someone was like, no, they're protecting their Second Amendment right, you know, to bear arms in the government. I said, wait. Let me explain something to you. When I saw the sheriff with a paper, like a printed statement that he was going to make, they're pleading with these people. Please, you know, we just want to rectify the situation. We don't want to cause any harm to you. We want, you know, things to be settled equally and, you know, not have things, you know, all chaotic and things like that. I'm just sitting back flabbergasted about, like, okay, these people are pleading with them because they're terrorists. Again, I'm going to keep saying that because they are terrorists. And one of the guys who was just, you know, going about his day on the land, like they walking in and out, he clearly stated, and there was another one, clearly stated to the news, you know, newscasters, if they come for us, I'm going to use deadly force, basically saying, basically what they were saying is, we're going to shoot you if you try to come here. If you cross the lines, we're going to shoot you. Now, I want to know how this works. Okay, you took control of a federal building. And, you know, some people say, oh, it's out in the middle. I don't care where it was. It could have been in the middle of Times Square. This is a federal building, building that may or may not be using my tax dollars to be funded and keeping, you know, open and things like that. So I'm just like, okay, how does this work? Like, I'm truly baffled how this works. And, you know, people want to continue to justify. I said, look, if they were Muslim, that whole building would have been destroyed. It would have been blown to smithereens with them people in it. If they was Muslim, if they were black, same thing. They would have bombed it. And, you know, I had to make a correlation with something that someone said. And, you know, I grew up in West Philadelphia, a couple blocks from Osage Avenue, where moves happened, where they bombed a house that had women and children and men in there. They didn't care. They didn't care. They bombed this house. They dropped a bomb on a residential house where African-American people were living. These people had their own rights. They weren't bothering nobody. They were standing up for their cause, which they should have been able to do. And, you know, the whole move situation was very disgusting. And it shined a light on how racist Philadelphia used to be. I mean, it was another incident before Osage Avenue, and this happened on Powhatan Avenue, where they literally took firemen hoses and hosed these people down. I'm talking about kids. They didn't care. They didn't care. They didn't care what happened. They were hosing kids, people down. Like, it was disgusting. All because these people had a different mentality and a different lifestyle that some people couldn't accept. Because I look different and I act different, that gives you a right to do what you want to me, to eradicate me, because I don't conform to what you want me to conform to. So, you know, I explained the situation with MOVE, and I was like, they bombed them. They bombed them with no hesitation. I said, look at the drones that they send in without even any kind of coordinates. Just drop it wherever. Just drop the bomb wherever. Like, in, you know, in a lot of Islamic countries, that they feel like we're threatening them, Muslims are threatening them. So they just send in unmanned drones with no coordinates, just dropping bombs everywhere. So you can't tell me, you can't convince me that the reason why they are allowed to do what they do is because they are white. It's white privilege. And a lot of people don't understand this. And, you know, I said this before, unless you're Muslim, unless you're black, you will never understand. I don't care if you get out there and fight for the cause every day for us. You will never understand what that is because you are not that. And that's nothing against you. And I appreciate all the support that people of other races and other religions give us. I appreciate the support 100%. But you will never know. You will never know what it's like to be treated less than human because of your race. Don't understand how these men have just been held up in this federal facility. I don't understand it. And then another thing is the media, you know, the almighty media, you know, we have to give it to them. The almighty media is stating we don't know what to call them. What do you mean you don't know what to call them? What do you mean you don't know what to call them? They're terrorists. And a couple people came up with some nice hashtags for them. Y'all Cater, like YALL Cater, which is cute. I like that one. And Vanilla ISIS. I love that one too. And then Tali Banjo. That was for creativity. I mean, those were really cute, and I've been using those hashtags because it's just sickening that, you know, my possible tax dollars are, you know, being used to keep them there. And something else I wanted to point out on that whole situation is that it's very concerning that these people who are terrorists, again, I'm going to keep saying it, they're terrorists, are able to go onto their page where they possibly promote hate and everything else that Facebook and other social media don't block.
them. But as soon as I put something up about, you know, Islam and how we forbid terrorism, they locked me out my page. They seized my GoFundMe account because they said they couldn't tell where the funds are being distributed because y'all know I'm Muslim. But you allow these people to even set up a GoFundMe account. A GoFundMe account. But y'all seize minds and say that you couldn't tell what the funds were being used for. I identified myself. I gave you a copy of my driver's license. Now you're talking about you want a thumbprint and my Social Security number. You won't be getting it. And y'all probably already got it. So, you know, I'm not going to go through all that validation after I sent you a copy of my license. You know, I send you a copy of my license and you still want to seize the account because you're something. And it's all because, and I'll give you a background on that. When I set up my GoFundMe account, I linked it directly to my Facebook page. So y'all got all my information. Y'all know who I am. And because they couldn't identify me, they said that I could not take the funds out of the account. So they seized my GoFundMe account. But you allow these terrorists, these domestic terrorists, have their own Facebook page and they're communicating with people and telling people to stand for the cause and, oh, bring us some snacks up here. Like, are you serious? I've urged everybody that I know, and I'm urging people who are listening to, go do the hashtag on Oregon, and you can find all the links to those people's pages and report it. Report their pages because it's terrorism that they're promoting. But I forgot, they don't have the right skin color or they don't have the right religion for it to, you know, resonate that, you know, it's a terrorist attack on United States because, again, that's what it is. It's a terrorist attack. I don't care if it's out in the middle of Easter Blitz. I don't care about that. And the news media is tiptoeing around it. They're armed protesters. Now, you tell me. Armed protesters who have seized a government-owned facility. They're armed protesters. Okay, they're terrorists to me. And I'm just going to leave it at that. They're terrorists, and we all need to stand up and fight against it because, hey, if it was us, we'd be dead already. They would have incinerated that building. They would have incinerated that building. Then they would have went and, you know, locked up all our family members, harassed us. They would have, look, we would have been obliterated off the face of the earth. We would have been gone. And people keep saying, oh, no, it's about, you know, gun control, this and that. Let me explain something to you. For me, if you're using a gun, I think everybody should have the right to own a gun. I think that. I think that you should have that right if you are in your home, that you're able to protect yourself. And I also agree that you should be able to have a license to carry a gun. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I'm licensed to carry a gun. I own guns. Not one, not two. I own several guns. And I think that's a right that everybody should have. If somebody is threatening your life or your family, I believe that you absolutely have a right to defend yourself. But the guns that they are, the guns that I have a problem with are these assault rifles or automatic weapons. Like, you're not going hunting with that. Dude, you couldn't kill a rabbit or a squirrel or a deer with that. You would shred it. You wouldn't even be able to eat the meat. So what are these guns that are being manufactured? Like, what is the need? Basically, for me, the AKA 47, the MR-15, those guns, I know a little bit about guns. My father was a hunter, so, you know, I know a little bit about guns. I like guns. That's no secret, people know, you know. Those type of weapons are used to kill people. And not just kill people, kill a lot of people and maim them. This is not something that you're using to guard your house or to go hunting. So why are these guns in existence? You tell me. You should not be allowed to purchase guns like that. They shouldn't even be here. Now, I'm saying, you know, you got a Glock or something like that. That's fine. You know, I like revolvers because you can't find the shell casings, you know, stuff like that. You know, that's my weapon of choice is a revolver. But I don't understand these assault rifles. Like, I don't understand the purpose of it. If you're not fighting in war, why would the average American need to have an assault rifle like that? That's my problem. Like, it irritates me. Like, how do you allow these kind of weapons to even be manufactured from the beginning? I mean, they just shouldn't be in existence. These type of guns do nothing but cause blight, cause more murders. I mean, you're on a city street with one of these guns that are letting off round after round after round, and all you see is the ground littered with shell casings. I mean, come on now. You're doing target practice? Like, I mean, for real, what are you using these guns for? I don't understand the need for those type of guns. I digress from that. You know, United States do what they want to do, and they allow what they want to allow, and then they want to criticize, you know, everybody else except for people who are actually doing wrong. This is the same thing that they did in Waco. You're pleading with these people. You're pleading with them. For what? Go in there, bomb it, and get rid of them. That's what you would do if they were black or Muslim or anybody that wasn't what fits your standards. That's exactly what would happen. And we all know it. Now, second topic that I'm going to address tonight is the whole Donald Trump. And I'm sick of him. I'm just so sick of this man. Don't get me wrong. He's an excellent businessman. He's an excellent businessman when it comes down to numbers and things like that. But, I mean, like, how did he even get this far? It's my concern. Because anybody who's filing bankruptcy that many times, you want to run the country? When you can't even manage your own books? I mean, I have a problem with that. I mean, this man, and now he made a good point about Cruz or whoever his name is, the other guy that's running for president. Dude, you was born in Canada. And your mom had dual citizenship. 18 months ago, you just gave up your citizenship to Canada because you knew you was running for president. How does that work? But y'all wanted to bombard Barack Obama because he was born in Hawaii. I mean, me personally, I don't think you should have been qualified to even run for president. You were not born in the United States. And I thought that was one of the qualifications, that you had to be a natural born citizen. It says it in the Constitution. How is it that these people get to do what they want to do? But I type one word on Facebook and they shut my whole account down. Your propaganda. Because I said that terrorism has no part in Islam. Every few days y'all want to shut down my account saying I'm spreading propaganda. But if I put up twerk videos with me half dressed, that'll be fine for y'all. You know, the standards with social media is crazy. I had a video up of a woman giving birth standing up, and I was just like, her chest wasn't out, and you couldn't see her private. She was standing up, and she was giving birth. And I just found that it was awesome that this lady could stand up, give birth, and not pass out and die. Like, you know, I mean, men, you'll never understand that, but, you know, cringing for her because I gave birth to 3 children, and all 3 times I was drugged. So, you know, I don't understand how she did that. But they blocked it and said, oh, you know, you can't share these kind of things. But you shared the picture up, the video up, of the mother who was breastfeeding her darn near. He looked like he was 10 years old. Just sitting out with her breasts out, breastfeeding both her kids. But you banned me for posting a picture, a video of a lady giving birth, and you couldn't even see her breast or her vagina, clearly her vagina. You right. Like, y'all right. I did that to y'all. You know, that was just my gripe. I get so sick of Facebook. They do what they want to do, and, you know, they allow you to post, and they allow people to come on there and bait you and say things because they want you to say something. They want you to say something so that they can, you know, lock down your account down there, locking down people's accounts and telling them that they have to pay to reestablish it and all this crazy stuff. But none of this happened to my Christian friends. Everybody that this happens to is Muslim. And it's always people who are posting positive, creative, you know, creative things about Islam and, you know, how to stay guided and things like that. Why are we the only ones being attacked with this? You know, if we show videos of little kids humping each other and all this other foolishness, we're good. I get so sick of it sometimes, but, you know, it is what it is. So I'm going to open up the call. If anybody has a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through if you have a comment, question. If you're online streaming, you can go to the chat box, and you can type your question, and I'll mention it while we're on the air. Next topic that I want to talk about is the homeless Muslim family. And I'm through. Like, I got little patience for people who don't follow through with things or don't want to do things. And then, you know, once something happens, we want to scream bloody murder like we're all being attacked. And I'm going to give you a prime example. I'm going to get into the real situation about the homeless Muslim family. And, you know, I have a degree in social work, so I understand a whole bunch of aspects of stuff that went on. I, you know, studied dual diagnosis, people with, mental problem, like, you know, they have some kind of mental disability going on, and also they have a drug addiction. So I know about dual diagnosed situations. I studied that. I work with people who are, you know, I worked as a case manager at Horizon House in Philadelphia, 30th Street, years ago. So I just want to get this out there. When this situation came up, and I've been said this, you know, as I look back, you know how they do the memories on Facebook, you can go back and look and see almost all the way to the beginning of when you created your Facebook, you can see your memories. So ever since 2009, I've been promoting it, like, you know, saying the Muslims, we need to get together, we need to help each other, we need to make our community strong. I've been saying it. Let me know what you need me to do. I'm willing to participate in this. I want to help get this up and running. I want to see positivity. I want to see the Muslims come together. This has always been my stance, to help the Ummah. But we can't even help ourselves. You know, it's very sickening when you see Muslims prepare for going to concerts, clothes, shoes, stuff that has no value, nothing that will help you in the next lifetime. And for you to sit there and see other helpless Muslims and you just dismiss it because they don't believe the way you believe, astaghfirullah. tired of trying to educate people and bring them out of the ghetto mentality that they have as we are crabs in a barrel, and I'm not helping you because I don't want to see you have more than me. This does not happen in any other culture other than African American. We can't stand to see somebody with something. We will put the iron on them that they lose it because they don't want to see us with it. People will be so hateful and disgusting because they don't want to see you with nothing. These same people will watch you and taste your house and rob you. Sit there, have tea with you, have sandwiches with you, and rob you the second you leave your house because they can't stand to see you with nothing. It's a disgusting mentality to think that way. And black people in America will never be nothing until they can stop having that kind of envy for the next person. They will never have nothing. We don't save for anything, and this is going to get into my next stop. We don't save for nothing. We want to walk around with $500 belts on, $1,000 pocketbooks, and you can't even bury yourself. You can't even bury yourself. People got to start a GoFundMe page. People got to go in the community and beg to get your body in the ground within them 3 days. Oh, I got to have the latest shoes. Oh, I got to have the latest bag. Oh, I got to have this. Oh, I got to have that. And you don't have a pot to piss in, a window to throw it out of, or a dream to hope on. You don't have nothing. I have never seen so much disrespectful and degrading behavior. And people always indoctrinated in this. You know, no, it ain't. No, it's not. I grew up in the hood. I didn't let the hood make myself become a product of the hood. I grew up in and around the projects in South Philadelphia. I grew up in Southwest Philadelphia. So when people tell me, oh, it's our mentality, no, that's because you want to be trifling and you want to be ignorant. You don't want for your brother or sister what you want for themselves. You want everything. I went to the Muslims and I said, look, here's my position. This is what I want to do. I want to set up an account, non-interest-bearing, because we don't deal in Reba. We don't deal in Reba. So a non-interest-bearing account, I was going to go get a lockbox, a P.O. box, where, you know, people, if they want to send in checks, you know, for the payment, I said this. I requested any Muslims. I got over 5,000 Facebook friends, 5,000 Facebook friends, 3,000, you know, Twitter, you know, Instagram, all that. I'm going to put on average about 10,000 people on each one all together on all the various social networks. I said, look, this is my plan. I want to get a non-interest-bearing Islamic account, because I was going to go through, it's an Islamic bank that deals in non-interest. I said, okay, we can go get an account, set that up. I can go get a P.O. box so that, you know, people can mail their payments in. And I said, in the interim, I'll go ahead and set up a GoFundMe page so that we can, you know, people who want to put that out there and start donating, they can, while we get all this established. I said, now I'm requesting $10 a month, 32 cents a day. Go in, make the payment, and, you know, we can start building. At the end of the year, if 1,000 Muslims gave that $10 a month, do you know what kind of money we could have? And people in the community know me. I'm not no thief. I'm not trying to rip off nobody. And this was my plan. I said, okay, I don't want to be the only person on this account. I want two other people, and we all become authorized signers on the account. So no one person, all three people would have to agree to take the funds out the account to do anything with it. That's how you safeguard accounts. And I said, nobody would be paid in cash. It would be, okay, you need rent money, okay, we need your landlord information so we can send them the item. And we're going to verify that you're back behind your rent, that we need to pay this. Oh, everything is going to be verified. You need a utility bill, give me the name of the agency or the company that your utility bill is paid through, your account number and name, and a 1-800 number so we can call them and verify that this is a past due payment. There were, I felt so bad because people started calling me and asking for help and was willing to provide me with the information like they needed help, and there was nothing there. Nobody did nothing. And I got inspired by the homeless Muslim situation. But then, you know, we got these Muslims that say, oh, they ain't this and they ain't that. Like a stuffer law. You know, you would want a law to pardon you for all the crap that you do, but you want to hold that against that family? And then they like, oh, they on drugs, this and that. That's their test. Be thankful a law ain't test you with that. Be thankful a law ain't test you with that kind of struggle. Because you might not have made it. Thankful a law ain't testing you like that. So, you see on the news that the family is about to become evicted. That the funds that were left over, they put it in an account, they say, and they said that the family wasn't cooperative with their demands and what the court requested. So, you know me, I say there's always two sides to every story. So when they did an interview with the family, they said, oh, they wanted us to go to this Christian retreat and they wanted us to go to marriage counseling and all this other stuff, but we're Muslim, we're not Christian, and we didn't want to partake in it. And that's when they became angry. This is when the agency went and got the police involved and said, we're going to evict them. Where are the Muslims? Where are they? Where are they to help this family? If we had the money in set up under Muslims Loving Sadaka, we would have had enough money to step in and say, you know what? We don't need you no more. We're gonna help our own. And because people are so hateful, envious, look where we at. They still can't go to no Muslims or African Americans outside that company to help them. Still can't do it. And me being who I am, I don't beg nobody to do nothing. I put the idea out there. You want to take it, you want to run it, you can go right ahead. I'm not going to beg nobody for nothing. The only person I'm going to beg for something, I'm going to beg Allah for mercy. That's the only thing I'm going to beg for. It's mercy upon my soul, and may Allah forgive me of my shortcomings. That's what I'm begging for. But I'm not begging nobody to help me. Y'all already know this. You can go buy a $10 pack of Newport, but you can't get $10 in Sadaqah. How do you think these masjids be able to run? They got to pay heat, light, and everything. But y'all want to complain it ain't no heat. Oh, it's cold. Oh, the bathrooms. Oh, the rugs. And you ain't giving a dime. You ain't giving a dime. You done bought Christmas toys, everything. Everything. But you can't help the masjid, and you can't help Muslims. It's a disgrace. And then people wonder why nobody wants to do business with us. Nobody wants to be involved with African Americans. Anytime you're trying to do something positive, people know it's positive. They know what's going to happen if that flourishes. They'll do everything in their power to make sure it don't. Don't support her. Backbite her. Oh, talk about her. Look at this. This is what she do. All this. What are you doing? What are you doing for the community? What are you saying? What are you trying to implement in the community to bring about something that's positive that would be beneficial for the Ummah on a whole? Regardless of what masjid you go to, it's going to help the Muslims. Nothing. You're going to do absolutely nothing. You're going to continue to buy your $300 sneakers, your belts, pay for concerts, you know, hang out in the club, pop bottles. Y'all gonna continue to do that, but I'm gonna be on something else. If anybody pays attention to me, they see I'm always on something else. I'm always doing halal hustles. I'm always doing something to be beneficial to the ummah. I don't even think about myself. I think about the community more because it's very hurtful to see this. These Muslims out here begging. I always say, how would we be if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive? Seriously, we doing these the things that we do when we have that kind of this black, you know, black Muslims and Arab Muslims. Will we be doing all this? It's disgraceful. It's ignorance. Allah is never going to bless none of this. That's why he's leaving it right where it's at, nowhere. You got people who wouldn't even open their homes if the family said, look, we just need a place to stay one night. And if you could offer us some food, you know, we have just one night. We just need one night. We don't need no more than one night. And some Muslims that wouldn't even, they would turn their heads and walk away. They would turn their heads and walk in the other direction like they never heard them say that. And you want Allah to be merciful to you for you and your shortcomings. You want Allah to forgive you for the things that you do, but you wouldn't even show mercy to a family in need. And see, I knew this whole situation was going to blow up with the people who had headed that whole organization. I knew it was going to come up because it says in Quran that we should not take non-believers for friends or helpers. It's a reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that. It's a reason. Because why? They will try to turn you back to a state of kufr. Oh, kiki, ha ha, in your face. Now you need to do this, and they use them. I don't care what nobody say. They held that over their head. Like, if you don't participate in these Christian activities, we're going to take everything from you. And may Allah reward them for not wavering away from that. May Allah bless them with bounties that they can't even imagine. I want them to be blessed with more than I have. Because to have faith like that in the situation that they're in, may Allah bless them. How many of us would have did that? And you talk about tests. They in the situation now that they might not even be able to get their kids back. Because they have to have stable housing. They have to show that. And that's another thing that organization knew. And this is another part that I get pissed off about. And see, like me working in there and knowing about how that industry works, I'm going to tell you they preyed on them people because they knew they were weak and they knew that they were vulnerable. But may Allah continue to keep them steadfast on the Siratul Mustaqim. I mean, I'm going to tell you why. Why would you give, if you thought they was addicted to drugs, why would you put them in that house? Tell them all their bills is paid, oh, you got food and all this and that, and they're going to say that, oh, they didn't want to do what they were supposed to do. What was it that they were supposed to do? You tell me what, see, they never said that. Every time they interviewed that guy from that organization, he would never say what they were supposed to do. Oh, they were non-compliant with the judge. If they was non-compliant with the judge, let me tell you something. When they went back to that court hearing, they would have been locked up. Because I believe both of them had outstanding cases in the court system. They would have been locked up if they were non-compliant. Some of them, they had dirty urines and all this other stuff. Let me explain something to you. Let me explain something to you real quick. You don't put a bull in a china shop. And I'll explain what that is. If you knew those people allegedly had, because I'm a cover for my brother and sister, I'm a cover for them. If you allegedly thought that they had a drug problem, why would you dangle the keys to the house and everything in front of them and not mandate that they go into a drug rehab program first before we get you that house? Why wouldn't y'all do that? No, y'all just gave it to them, and then you thought that everything was going to be like, okay, now we gave it to them, now they're going to comply to them. This is why we have to protect our own. We have to protect our own for our own best interest. But you know what? We're so envious and hateful and spiteful. We don't care. We wanted to see them homeless. Oh, that's good for them. Oh, because I've seen it. I've seen it on a post, a feed. The hatefulness that was in this sister's heart about them. They couldn't, by state standards, they couldn't get their kids back for 6 months. They would be up for a review in 6 months whether or not they would have been able to be allowed to get their kids back. They could have put them in a 90-day program. You got to go into a mandate from the day that we want that the state took your kids. You need to go into this drug rehab program, and after the 90 days, if you come back clean and sober and you do what the program is, but make sure it's not a religious program. And I don't know what the lady's name was, but she stepped in and was a mediator and said, look, we need to take the religion out of this because they need help. Take the religion out of it and just help your brother or sister. And I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. Help your brother or sister and not let them be homeless and lose their kids. They could have put them in a 90-day program, and if they successfully completed that, then we'll get you a house. But then we'll send somebody who's like an advocate that will have somebody slow walk you through this process. No, y'all just gave them the house. Here's the all the bills is paid. Here's, you know, food, everything. Oh, we've given you everything. And how do you do that? That's a bull in the china shop. You think ain't not one piece of fine china going to be broke after a bull walked through it? This is why I tell people you have to look at things from a different, all too often, we look at things on what everybody else is agreeing with. We followers, not leaders. Sheep people. Whatever they say, we follow it. Now, eventually they see something take off. Oh, yeah, I want to get on it. Well, why wasn't you in on it when I told you about it from the beginning? See, because people like that just want recognition. They want to shine. They don't want to do none of the hard work, none of the leg work. They just want to shine. When everything is good and everything is perfect, yeah, let me get in on that. Me, I don't have the patience to deal with that kind of stuff. Like, I'm going to tell you two times at the most, I ain't going to keep telling you. I'm just not going to keep telling you. I'm not going to keep asking you. I'm not going to keep bothering you, especially if it's something that you want me to do. Oh, I'm definitely not begging you to do nothing. You ask me to do something, Quadira shows up. You need something from me, I'll tell you. Quadira can do it or Quadira can do it. I don't sugarcoat it. I don't have you thinking that, I do what I'm supposed to do, and if I can't do it, I let you know. It's as simple as that. It's as easy as that just to follow through. Ask people to, you know, set up something and let's get this together and let's do this and let's do that. And, all right, I'm going to sign up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And never show up. Never show up. Never help with nothing. Never participate. They don't even want to help. Let me tell you something. These people are so sad they don't even want to participate in something positive that's free. This is how much people hate. When they say the hate is real, it is real. Believe it. You do something free, they won't even show up. Trust and believe, anything that I do, I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. If you show up, you don't show up. If you do, alhamdulillah, that's, you know, I leave it at that. But this is something that I want people to understand about me. For me for a second. I'm just going to talk about me for a second. If I'm trying to get in on something, I see the potential in it. I do my leg work. I do my homework. I do my investigating. I look at all these different aspects of it, find out the people who are working with it, things like that. You know, like, truly investigate it. You know, a lot of people, you know, be against stuff that I say on Facebook and stuff. I do that for a reaction, just to see how people want to react to it. I'm an analyst at heart. That's what I do every day at work. I analyze numbers, stats, things like that. So I put stuff out there just to see how people think and see if people will react to it, whether it's a good way or a bad way. I mean, I don't try to be, you know, too hard, but, you know, I put stuff out there just to see how people react to things. And the funny thing about it is people will participate in more ghetto Islamic stuff where they're going to have play cards. I was like, what? Y'all playing cards? So y'all gambling? Oh, okay. When I seen that, I said, oh, okay. I see how y'all do. But if it's a free lecture for the sisters, you know, to get knowledge and understanding on the religion, nobody shows up. And it's free. Nobody shows up. I get tired of trying to tell people about things that could better the Islamic community, especially the African-American Muslim community. You know, it's so much hate and disdain in the hearts of the Muslims that you got Muslims here killing Muslims, and they don't care. They don't even understand the penalty for that. They don't even understand the penalty. And you know what? They don't even care. They don't care. They will kill another Muslim within the blink of an eye, and don't think twice about it. I don't get it. I don't understand why people have to hate. How come you don't want to see somebody with nothing? You don't want people to prosper. You don't want to see people achieve their goals. You know, it was a post out there where it said, if I put up, I got the job, you get 1,000 likes. Everybody happy for you. If you say you opened a business, I finally got my business open, you'll get 10 likes. Why? Because people can't stand, especially, I don't know what kind of mentality this is, but it's only the majority of African-American people that think like this. Like, they don't want to see nobody with nothing. If it's better than what I'm doing, nope. It's an old wives' tale that, you know, they used to say, you better make sure they're praying for you and not against you. The ayin is real, people. And I seek refuge in the law from this every day. Protect me from the ayin. Because in Hadith, 2/3 of the people in the grave is there because of the ayin. The other 1/3 is because of Allah's permission. Think about that. Somebody said, I wish they was dead. I wish they die. I wish they lose everything. Allah knows what's in the heart and in the breast of men. You can say everything. You can smile. You can give me a hug, salam, give me the tightest hug ever. And as soon as I turn my head, oh, I can't stand her. She make me sick. You may not physically say it, but that's what's in your heart. Nothing's going to change in our community because we can't even stand up with each other. You know, I wonder how many people would have been able to survive the civil rights movement in the 60s. Like, we'd still be slaves if we had to wait on, you know, if we had the same mentality we do today. If we had that back, yeah, we'd be slaves. We'd still be indentured servants and, you know, with no rights, no nothing. All got stuff that we need to fix within ourselves. We all got things that we need to work on, that we need to get right with Allah. We all got that. Nobody is perfect. Nobody's telling you to be perfect, but strive to get there. Strive to get there. If somebody needed the shirt off my back and I wouldn't be naked, I would give it to them. And why? Because not only because they needed it, is because I want to please my Lord. And I know that would be a pleasing act to do that, not for no likes, not for no look. You know, people don't know me on social network because they see, you know, this and that. They don't know what I do behind the scenes or what I do in the community. They don't know none of that, and they don't need to. You know, a lot of times, oh, you know, we should have no, don't do that. No need to make that announcement. No, you really should be nope. Don't do it. And I tell people, I will be mad and I will not participate in it again if you do that. Do not announce my name. Don't put me out there. Don't say nothing about what I did. Don't do it. That blessing with Allah. I don't need nobody bragging about my accolades, what I did, how I did. I don't need that. Because at the end of the day, I still have a lot of stuff that I need to work on. A whole lot of stuff. Okay. A great amount of stuff that I need to work on. Next thing I want to talk about, and this will be the final thing that I speak about tonight on the call, is, you know, I'm starting to get involved with Carrot Bars International. You know, a lot of people want to know about it, what it's about, how does it work, what's the meaning of it, what's behind it, how does it, you know, where was it established, things like that. And I try to educate people because I have extensive knowledge also in the banking industry. I know a lot about it. And one thing that African-American people don't do is save for a rainy day. And what I mean by save for a rainy day, I'm talking about we don't have life insurance policies. We don't have money for retirement like a 401K, an IRA, or a high-interest money market account, or a certificate of deposit. We don't have none of that. Well, I mean, y'all don't. I do. If people continue to think that the government is going to take care of you, you done already lost. You're gone. Let me explain why. I had to take a deep breath from that one. With a lot of major industries is to cut a pension from that. So they took out pensions, which would mean that this company had set aside for their retired people a portion of monies that they would give to them after they retire. A lot of jobs cut all that out because that's too much money, and they know they already bankrupt. They already know this. So if you wasn't locked into the pension plan, then you have to go with what's next, and that's a 401k, where you contribute a portion of your payroll salary. It goes into a fund, and sometimes your employer will match that up into a certain amount. Not every employer does it. Sometimes you got to just put whatever you want to put in there, and they don't match nothing. Like my employer, they match up to 6%. So if I put 6% of my salary, they're going to put another 6%, which would be 12%. People, again, African-American people don't pay attention to the stock market. I pay attention to the stock market because I have a 401k. And my 401k is based on different funds I have allotted a certain percentage to fund that 401k. Well, China just had a major incident where they halted trading. And when they halted trading, that gave a great impact to our Dow, the stock market, you know, all those things that you may see on the ticker tape or on the news and things like that. Like, a lot of people don't pay attention to that. I do, because when they called it trading and said that they wasn't going to do it, our stock market went down. So what does that mean? Money for my 401k is dropping. Instead of it going up, I'm losing money. 2008, when the stock market basically crashed and we was in that depression, you know, homes weren't worth nothing. Two pieces of cardboard, you know, you couldn't sell your house, none of that. I lost $60,000. $60,000 I lost because I wasn't smart enough to pull all my money out and put it in the high-yield interest money market account, which I know we don't deal with interest. I would have just donated the interest, but to secure those funds, I would have put it in there. You can have an interest account, but the funds cannot be used to donate, you know, for you to get the barricades from. You get no blessings from that, anything that has interest. So I just gave it away and not look for it, no blessings for it, because that's what it needed to happen with that. $60,000 that I lost. Sick to my stomach? Absolutely. So what's going on now is, and, you know, a lot of people don't pay attention to this. The U.S. dollar is not backed by gold anymore. That stopped in the 70s. Each U.S. dollar used to be backed by a percentage of gold. No longer out there. American dollars ain't worth the paper it's written on. Because, you know, what happened? Printing money. Keep printing money. Fort Knox and all that other stuff where they talk about they got gold, those places don't exist no more. Well, not for them. Not for the government. You got some countries that won't even take a U.S. dollar. When I was in Mexico in November, you know, I was, you know, giving tips and things out, and they was like, do you have pesos? They don't even want our money. We'd rather have that in pesos. We don't want that in the American dollar. And another reason why it hurt America so much, you know how much money we owe China? Saudi Arabia, too. Trillions of dollars. The deficit, we could never fix this. We could never fix this. So me dealing with the real money game, RMG, we are affiliated with a company called Carat Bar. And you can buy gold. You may say, buy gold, like, what am I going to do with gold? Like, I'm going to tell you about it. When the boom of these gold stores, you see, and only in urban neighborhoods, African-American, low-income, poverty-stricken areas, you would see all these gold stores pop up, everything black and gold. You would see the kiosks in the malls turning your gold. You're like, oh, I got a couple of broken earrings and all this other stuff. And you took all your scrap gold and you took it and you gave it to them and they sent you a check. How dumb was that? If the U.S. dollar collapses and you don't have something to trade for goods or services, what are you going to do? This is why I was telling people, you need to get on board. You can buy gold, and it's in an offshore account where push come to shove, everything collapses here. You got something to stand on. I'm not telling people to invest every hard-earned dollar they have, but we make it affordable for you to get it. At least you would have enough to stand, have a leg to stand on. And here's another thing. If it didn't happen, you could go cash back in your gold and you could get a higher price for it. Because trust and believe, those stores that took your gold, they gave you the lowest price possible. They didn't give you what they would get for it. So, you know, that's just something to think about. And I do Wednesdays. It's called Wealthy Wednesdays. It's part of the RMG game, Real Money Game. I do a call every Wednesday talking about different things and aspects of financial, you know, backings and things that we need to get ourselves aware and aligned with, because we won't be stuck. And see, this is another thing. People's like, oh, that sounds like a pyramid scam and all this and that. How we get? We're not telling you to sell something, and if you don't sell it, you don't, you know, you don't get nothing. We're just telling you to buy gold, and it's your gold. We don't get no gold from you. We got to buy our own. We're trying to help you prepare yourself for what's going to happen. People still scared and skeptical. Okay. I mean, you know, I can give you all the information that you need on the company, the backing, you know, everything about the founder. You know, I can give you, you can Google the information. You can do whatever you want to do. I'll give you all the links and everything. People don't understand that, you know, the dollar is going to collapse soon. It's going to collapse. Before, just look at it. Years ago, the euro and the dollar was almost neck and neck. Now the dollar is like half of a euro. Nobody wants to take American. When you see people that don't want to take an American dollar, that should wake you right up. People don't understand, oh, you know, I can buy gold from here, I can buy gold from there, I can do this, I can do that. You know how, like, they had those mint shows, like the TV mint, oh, you can get your gold pieces and your gold coins from us and things like that. That is not considered as sovereign gold. And let me explain something to you about what sovereign gold is. Sovereign gold means that it is tied directly to you. If you see any of that stuff with the American Eagle, all that, the United States flag, anything like that that has a stamp on it or whatever like that, that's not your gold. You're just the bearer. You're holding it for them. So, and it's laws about this. The U.S. government could come in and say, let me see that gold you got. Oh, that got the stamp on it? Yeah, that's ours. And you'll be standing like, well, I paid for it. No, it just says that you're the bearer of this, like you're the holder of it. You don't own it to purchase would be yours. And it's sovereign. They can't touch it. They would have no right to it. So, you know, just want to educate you people. So I'm going to get ready to close the call out. If nobody has a comment, question, or concern while I'm closing out, you can dial in at 805-727-7013. Tonight was about hot topics, and you can press 1 if you want to talk, got something to say. Again, I'm trying to promote stuff. If you want to join our team, have your own show on a specific day, you know, reach out to me. I can work with you with that. If you got an upcoming event in your community and you want me to promote it on the show, I have no problem doing that. If you got a topic you want me to talk about, I can help you with that too. You know, and have you as a guest on the show, or you can invite somebody to the show to join. We can discuss the topic that you want to discuss. You know, and I always leave that door open for, you know, for the listeners and the callers and the participants. If I said anything that I shouldn't have said and it was misleading or anything like that, Allah, please forgive me. That's not my intention, to mislead no one or to be hurtful or harmful to anyone. I just want to get the word out. I'm passionate about what I feel for the Ummah, for being Muslim. I love being Muslim. Islam is perfect. Muslims are not, and I understand that. Each and every day, I understand it, and I appreciate that, you know, because it keeps you on your toes with, you know, things like this. So, since nobody has comments or anything like that, tonight's topic was hot topics, different things going on in the news, in our communities, in our world, you know, things that we need to keep on top of. Today's date is January 7th. Can you believe that? It's already 7 days into, you know, the new year. How fast will it go? Next time I look up, it'll be Ramadan again, inshallah, that we all get to see that. If you want to contact me directly, you can reach me via cell phone. You can send me a text message on this number, 610-836-2120. If you want to reach me via email, you can reach me at rma@gmail.com. I'm on all social networks, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Path, Google Talk. I see one person got a call, so I'm going to put you through. Thank you for joining Religion Means Alive. Who do I have online? Hello? Okay, that caller dropped. Okay, so since nobody else has any other questions, again, thank you for joining tonight. I appreciate everyone joining and listening to me talk. Without you guys, without, you know, the list, I wouldn't be able to do it. And I see that people, you know, love to join in on the show. Okay, let me put this person through again. Let me see. Religion Means Alive. Thank you for joining.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam. Alhamdulillah, sis. It's your sister Nakia. I just coming through.
Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Alhamdulillah. What were you speaking about? I just came through it.
Oh, yeah. I'm about to end the call, as you can see. I was talking about different things that, you know, has been happening in the community, such as the homeless Muslim situation here. I was talking about Oregon, how, you know, they let these people get away all this stuff and they not label them terrorists, which they are. They're terrorists. They're domestic terrorists. I was talking about financial stability. You know, I was talking about carrot bars and getting on board with that, and, you know, telling people to pay attention to what happens in the stock markets and things like that, because the government's not going to be around to help us.
Alhamdulillah, right.
You know, the government is not going to be around to help us. And I was just telling people that you can buy small increments of, you know, gold. You don't have to, I'm not telling you to buy, put your whole paycheck. No, I'm asking you to buy in small increments. This way you can save up enough money that if the dollar collapses, you'll have a little cushion to sit on. You see what I'm saying? Until you can get you and your family together. It's, you know, it's a bigger deal, but, you know, I talk about that on Wealthy Wednesdays when I do the conference show. But that was just basically it.
I forgot my drum tonight.
Okay. Well, okay. To me, on that Oregon thing, sis, yes. I really believe those are scare tactics. I don't believe none of it, to be honest, you know. Yeah, I believe it's just something to scare the people.
And you know, I talked about that, too. If I don't know if you remember the show I did on false flag attacks, where they set these things up, because I don't believe the whole San Bernardino thing went down. I don't believe Sandy Hook went down. There's a lot of stuff I don't believe went down. And see, I agree with you on the thing with the Oregon, as I think about it, because who's letting these white people come in here and take over a federal building and y'all don't do nothing about it? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, y'all just letting them walk around telling you that if y'all cross the line, we're going to kill you now. If that was Muslims and black people, what do you think would have happened? That building would have been incinerated. They'd have been
right.
Dead. They would have
right.
had no patience with us. But this is showing you, like, how, oh, even though they say that they're going to do this, they're not violent. They're not doing anything. Oh, I get it. I definitely get the whole bamboozle. We're going to keep going
mm-hmm.
the dark type stuff. So, you know, I definitely know about that. Well, I'm about
mm-hmm.
to end the call.
Okay.
I appreciate you.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, just keep me posted on anything you need me to do, because I got your message, so I'll follow up with you later on that.
Inshallah. Okay.
Inshallah. All right. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Have a good night.
You too. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.